One of the best loved of all desserts is strawberries topped with cream. Whipped, clotted, poured, doesn't matter, but cream. Do you agree? Now that strawberries can be more or less luscious, but oh, how disappointing to see this dessert on a menu and find that the cream treat you were looking forward to turns up as that artificial cream which tastes like sweetened, heated plastic which has been cooled. No doubt, strawberries can be delicious by themselves, but cream, real fresh cream, really makes that dish, in my opinion. James wants believers to show the world what true, living, saving faith looks like. Christians were facing pressures, this we know. They made exclusive claims to knowing truth about God. And James now tackles this question of their need to show the difference that having such true faith makes in their lives, not just talking about it. Faith in Christ should be expressed in practical action, not only cherished within one's personality. That's the heart of today's message. This teaching explains about what James has already said about caring for widows and staying pure, chapter 1, verses 26 and 27. James' words are aimed to mature the way his readers, as brothers and sisters, both understood the gospel and lived it. This is another internal issue that they were facing. There appears to have been the growth of an imbalanced, uncoordinated approach to the faith. Like a model only choosing to wear one half of the provided outfit onto the catwalk. In the words of that famous ad campaign of a decade or so ago, James says, "Fools, don't you know that this goes with that, goes with this, goes with that, goes with this, goes with that in our lives?" A coordinated faith, one that models the entire outfit which God has provided for us, is worn when trusting faith is matched with what we do, works, deeds. These truths which God has joined together, we ought not to pull apart. Then, as now, there were those who said, "I live only for the next world. I'm not too concerned about what happens in this one. My main concern is to further my knowledge of the faith and foster future hope. That's really what counts." On the other hand, there were and are those who say, "I'm a practical Christian. I don't spend a lot of time thinking about the things of God, the finer points of faith. I just get on with doing my bit to help other people." Which of these approaches is right? The answer, according to James, is neither. We should strive for a growing knowledge about the Lord. We should also strive to serve people. Neither view is right to think that it's got to be an either-or choice between faith and good deeds. That is, you either immerse yourself in thinking about faith or you immerse yourself in doing things to help others. It's not an either-or, but should be a both-and approach. James needs to teach about this so they and we get it straight. Firstly, then, he teaches about the lifelessness of a dead faith, verses 14 to 19. There is such a thing as dead faith, you know, which will not save a person because it does not include Jesus. In this teaching, he singles out behavior between believers. Verse 14. "What good is it, my brothers, if a man claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save him?" He expects the answer no. He then gives the example which supports his case. Verses 15 and 16. "Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to him, 'Go, I wish you well, keep warm and well fed,' but does nothing about his physical need. What good is it? That brother, that sister, doesn't need you to teach them the finer points of the catechism. They need your practical help. Here, James is drawing upon the experience of the young church, as mentioned in the book of Acts, where fellow believers saw needs and generously met them, even to the point of selling land if it were necessary to meet them. To have a genuine need, make it known, and be fobbed off with a fine-sounding word or two would be like being served artificial cream with one's dessert. Very disappointing. Perhaps a well-wisher would really mean what they said, but such charitable words would be inadequate, wouldn't they? We can't hope to meet every single need that we see, but should we be able to do something and choose to do nothing, that would be dreadful now, wouldn't it? This does happen. As James adds, verse 17, in the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by actions, is dead. That is, the claim to have demonstrated shown genuine faith ought to be accompanied by actions. Otherwise, it is a hollow statement without real meaning. Artificial cream lacks the nutrients as well as the taste of real cream. And whilst it may be better than no cream at all, it is a disappointing letdown to those looking for the real thing. Fellow believers deserve a better witness from a Christian, and so does the world. Verse 18 shows how genuine faith should be expressed by means of deeds. Then we come to this astonishing verse 19. You believe that there is one God? Good. Even the demons believe that and shudder. Do you see that? Those who tell me, those who tell you that they believe in God, they're not necessarily better off than the demons who shudder before Jesus when he was on earth. God have mercy on us for our carelessness for people's souls when we don't check with them if they've come to actually trust in Jesus as their Saviour and Lord. When we hear them say such vague and general things as, don't worry about me and my soul, I believe in God, you know. A general belief in God is no guarantee for salvation of a person at all. So, we see then the lifelessness of a dead faith. But secondly, there is the liveliness of a living faith. Verses 21 following. We have two examples illustrating this truth. First of all, the example of Abraham, verses 21 to 24. See how the history is cited of his life? Was not our ancestor Abraham considered righteous for what he did when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? We have cross-references to Hebrews 11 here. You see, his faith and his actions were working together, and his faith was made complete by what he did. Now, the fact that the Holy Spirit led James to use this example from Abraham's life shows we're talking about the life of faith lived by a believer. Abraham was declared righteous by God some 15 years before this incident took place. Verse 23 reminds us of Abraham's repeated exercising of trust, which shows a living relationship with God, which God terms friendship. And the scripture was fulfilled that says, Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness, and he was called God's friend. A full, mature life is demonstrated when faith is active, as verse 24 goes on to teach, you see that a person is justified by what he does and not by faith alone. So Abraham is the first example of a believer exercising active faith, and Rahab is the second. Verse 25. In the same way, was not even Rahab the prostitute considered righteous for what she did when she gave lodging to the spies and sent them off in a different direction? The moment at which Rahab came to trust in God for salvation isn't recorded in God's word, but she did trust God for salvation, because Joshua 2 records her testimony to her people's awe of God and her willingness to trust in him and cooperate with his representatives rather than try to resist his plan. Now, some of us have a light cream Christian faith experience. Others have a double clotted cream experience. And both those are precious. Having an active faith, a faith that is at work by means of love, as Paul puts it. That's the take-home message today. How wonderful to be able to trust our risen Lord Jesus for our complete salvation. Equally, how glorious to desire to want to respond to that salvation with lives of obedient faith. It's those who have an artificial cream experience about whom this section would cause me to be concerned. Like having a beautifully tailored jacket without the bottom of the outfit, they'd have cause to be embarrassed, and rightly so. Near enough isn't good enough with God. To have a true faith, we must first truly come to God for salvation. Rely on him like Abraham and Rahab did. Trust in Jesus' power and readiness to forgive us, and then respond to that truth with a changed life. Rejoice when you experience the desire to serve the Lord, and as you do serve him, knowing that as Abraham and Rahab's acts of faith were seen as precious in the Father's sight, so will yours be also. As the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without deeds is dead.